studios of J Wolf Productions, metal maniacs around the globe unite. Prepare for Metal Mayhem ROC. This is the show where you, a metal musician, a metal maniac, or a new fan of the genre, can be interactive and participate in the show. Now, welcome our hosts, John the Vernomatic Verno and Metal Forever Mark.
Thank you, John, and welcome to a special edition of Metal Mayhem ROC. I'm your host, John the Vernomatic Verno, with my partner in metal crime, Forever Metal Mark.
Thanks, guys. Welcome.
Tonight,
special night.
Yeah, it is a special night. It's a special week. It's been a special month. In the studio tonight, we have the guys from Last in Line. Guys, welcome to Upstate New York.
How you doing?
Thank you.
From my left to right, we have Vinny Appice on drums, Vivian Campbell on lead guitar, Phil Susan on bass, and Andrew Freeman on killer lead vocals. Again, thank you for coming up north, guys.
Hey.
We're going to cover a few things, the history of the band, some individual achievements throughout your careers. It's a collective group that we're interested in. And we're going to have some fun with some special segments we have on our podcast that, you know, we like to have fun with. So that being said, I'm going to pass it over to Mark. He's going to introduce himself.
Hey, guys. Welcome. So we met you guys in Buffalo, and we really appreciate that opportunity to come say hi backstage. And Vernomatic and I were talking, because we did a show 2 days after, how blown away we were by just the performance, the sound of the band, everything. So the first question we had, I guess, when you decided to form Last in Line, I know we're missing one of the original members, but what style of music did you set out to kind of play, or did that just kind of flow artistically as you all got together and started banging out riffs and tunes?
Well, we all started, you know, just jamming Dio songs.
Yeah,
and it all grew out. It wasn't even really forming a band. It just kind of happened by accident. You know, we just wanted to play, and with Jimmy Bean and Vinny and myself, and we just went into a rehearsal room and we're jamming some of the songs we wrote and recorded with Ronnie back in the 80s. And it was Vinny who suggested we have Andrew come in and sing.
Don't forget that.
Is that a good thing or not?
I don't forget it.
was it the fact that Ronnie had passed and you're like, hey, maybe you reconnected a little more? Because
for me personally, there were a lot of reasons. I just finished doing a brief tour with Thin Lizzy as a stunt guitar player, and that Lizzy were my band when I was in my formative guitar years as a teenager. You know,
yeah.
I could play all the Lizzy records. I knew all the licks.
Oh, sure.
So they were very influential to me. And just to be on stage with Scott Gorman, Brian Downey, and playing the songs of my youth, kind of just, I got really excited about wanting to play that kind of guitar again. And I called up Vinny and Jimmy and said, let's go in the rehearsal room to play. So we had no agenda other than that. And then when Andy came in and started singing, then I thought, well, this sounds really interesting, because when Jimmy and Vinny and I played, it was the sound of of the early Dio band, because we were the early Dio band. So, and it's nothing that we tried to force. It was just, it had been like 27 years, I think, since we had played together. We walked in, and as soon as we started playing, it was just, it could have been 27 minutes. I mean, the chemistry of the band was still very much intact. And so Vinny suggested, well, I know this asshole Andy. I mean, this guy. Andy.
No, I said asshole.
You did say asshole. Okay.
There it is.
There it is, yeah. How long did that take, Andrew?
Not very long.
Yeah, I know. So Andrew came in and started singing, and, you know, is a really ballsy singer, like a very, very powerful singer, like Ronnie was, but with a totally different tonality. I mean, Ronnie was a unique voice. So I just thought it was interesting that you had the sound of the original Dio band and a singer who could take it somewhere else and do it in a different way. So I suggested we go out and do some shows. And then perhaps, you know, if Ronnie hadn't passed away the year prior to all this, I don't think I would have wanted to do that. Just would have been a little bit strange. Yeah. So the fact that Ronnie had passed away and that the Dio band no longer existed anymore, it kind of, thought, kind of made it all right to do that, you know, and I didn't give any thought to the name. I just suggested, you know, Ronnie's gone, and Jimmy and Vinny and I were the last in line, and obviously it's the name of the second album we did. So if I'd known it was actually going to become a real band, I don't think I would have named it Last in Line. You know, because there is some baggage that goes with it, you know. But anyway, having said that, to get back to your original question, I mean, we had no agenda to make original music, and we were doing shows on the West Coast where we all live. We got offered a chance to go play in Europe. We did that. We got offered a show in Japan. We did that. And so we started to grow, and there was a bit more demand for it. And then we were asked by Frontiers Records if we'd be interested in writing and recording new music. Wow. Up to that was about 2014. We'd already kind of been doing it casually for two or three years that period. And it honestly wasn't on our radar to make new music.
Sure. The project grew legs.
Somebody said, hey, well, we'll put a record out if you want to do it. So we went into the studio and we just started writing the way that we did it with Ronnie back in the early 80s. We'd just go in and I'd have an idea, or Jimmy'd have an idea, or Vinny would just start playing a beat that would inspire us, and we'd come up with something, and we'd come up with a musical bed, and then, you know, the singer, be it Ronnie or Andrew, comes in and make suggestions. We'll try this here, try that there. And it all happens very organically and very quickly. And that's the method that we did with Ronnie, and that's what we've carried over into this. And the music is just, we don't think about it.
Yeah.
We just do it, and it is what it is. And, you know, I think the Last in Line music kind of sits in these live shows, sits side by side with the Dio Classic. It is cut of the same cloth. I mean,
definitely.
Similar kind of thing, you know.
Question for Andrew. How familiar were you with the Dio material, the first three?
And well, I never heard any of these guys.
For real?
No, of course. I mean, I was very aware of it. That was, you know, a child of that era, so yeah.
And what was the relationship with Vinny? Did you just old friends?
We did a couple things.
Vinny, right before he was working with Heaven and Hell, right before he went back in Heaven and Hell, he just cut my lawn. So,
just to make sure the lawn was fertilized.
How do you do?
I mean, you know.
So, follow-up question to that. Along the way, I got a chance to become friends with Ripper Owens just casually over time and keep in touch. And, you know, it was hard for him, right, because he kind of went into the priest mode with Rob's absence. Now, clearly, that's a different situation because Rob was still around. The priest was still around. And he was filling that, you know, that role in that band. But then we started watching the Dirt movie the other day. We were talking about that and when John Corabi stepped in. So, did you feel like, in a way, that you're trying to fill that gap, or is it just, hey, new band, fresh music, your own style? How do you approach it from that manner?
I mean, there's a moment of that, I think. You know, there's a moment of where you're, you know, you want to do it the right way, you know. But I've been in original bands, cover bands for years, so I always had a thing about doing cover songs, you know, which they're cover songs to me, so that you have to try to do them as close to what they are. You know, but then that can get a little boring sometimes, and you kind of bring your own thing into it. So, I was aware of it, but that kind of, you walk in and go, oh my God, there's that guy, oh my God, there's that guy, you know, and that lasts about a minute, then you got to get to work, you know what I mean? So it just, and I think it separates, a lot of times it separates, you know, pros from not pros, like when you can walk into a room with anybody and just work with them and try to fit into their chemistry. I mean, these guys had this chemistry that, just, you know, when they first got together. I played with Vinny and Lynch Mob before, years before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, and I played with him and Jimmy, and I played with Claude as well, and, you know, and I played with Phil too, you know. So, you know, there was a chemistry with these guys that you could hear from the first downbeat, you know. It's just as soon as they hit that first note, it's like a bomb going off, you know. So you have to. Now it's like, okay, now I have to fit into this chemistry. Mm-hmm. I have to find my part in this and not get in the way of it. And, you know, so it's kind of being a chameleon, but it's also kind of having your own thing to bring to the table.
Well, expanding on that, it's sort of history repeating itself, because when the Dio band started, they didn't have a lot of material. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right.
So the first tour was Sabbath, Dio,
exactly.
It's a fill-in.
Yeah, we had 9 songs on the Holy Diver album. And,
you know,
we didn't play all of them. So, you know, we played 4 or 5, maybe, if that, I think, from Holy Diver. And then we were playing, like you say, Sabbath.
Children.
Yeah. And I've noticed with the Last in Line.
And all the rainbow stuff, too.
Yeah, and now I noticed with the Last in Line, the first album, and now on to the second, Last in Line 2, there's more of the original Last in Line material. Yeah. So again, it's like,
well, we actually had a landmark show. Our last show was the first time ever where we tipped the balance. Not the last one before, but because we had to cut the set, we were opening for Dokken.
So we
had to play a 60-minute set. So we ended up with a set by accident, not by design, that was for the first time ever I realized where we're playing more Last in Line songs as opposed to Dio songs, which is good, you know, because it is, we are at that stage now with two albums where we have to kind of start, you know, finding the right balance between being faithful to the heritage that Vinny and I have from the Dio catalog, mm-hmm. and yet taking it into the future as a new band, you know.
Well, one thing, just real quick, I talked with Vernomatic and I after the show, you know, I must admit, I went down there, wanted to hear the Dio stuff, and Vivian knowing that you wrote those three, you know, great classic albums, and Vinny was involved, but the things that stood out for me were the Last in Line tracks, you know, and Andrew, your vocals, and actually, I kind of found myself wanting to hear a few more of those songs, along with the Dio stuff, so it seems like as time progresses here, you might be phasing more of the Last in Line in, and maybe
absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it would be crazy for us not to play some of the classic Dio songs. I mean, Rainbow in the Dark and Holy Cover, Last in Line, whatever. Yeah. There's some really big songs that will probably forever be in our catalog, you know, but it is nice to kind of grow into that, and I personally have seen it too. I mean, I recognize that a lot more of the audience are being very, very responsive to Last in Line music. You know, they know that we're actually building a fan base, because a lot of the places we're playing, we're coming back to for a second or even a third time. You know, we've been working very hard with this band for the last few years, and mm-hmm. I was just saying before we went on the air, you know, I'm constantly working. it's great. I mean, I'm doing it because, like the other guys, I really, really believe in it, you know, and I really enjoy it. And I also understand and appreciate that in this day and age, especially, you have to go out and manifest the live aspect of what you do. You can't put a record out and just do interviews and a couple of videos and stuff. You got to go out. You got to make it real, you know. Mm-hmm. You got to play the shows. And we're building a fan base. We're definitely, you know, seeing it work.
Keeping it real, a question for Phil. You stepped right in. It was, you sort of resembled Jimmy Page, too.
Healthier Jimmy.
You stepped right in, and you're welcome. But what's the relationship? I know you guys all intertwine. It's we looked at Vinny's history, and he's played with everyone under the sun.
Yeah,
and
we got tired just reading it, Vinny. We're like, oh, my, this guy's been in everything.
Yeah, on the way to Papa.
I'm sorry.
Went on 25 minutes. Finally, he said, hey, for real, you making this up? So, your relationship with these guys, give me a brief history.
He cooks for us.
And cuts the grass, that's good.
He's a chef, this guy, it's unbelievable.
He's great with luggage, I've got to tell you. The pre-existing relationship, of course, we've known each other for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was playing with Ozzy, I was good friends with Jimmy. And Jimmy was in, obviously, Dio, and Dio and Ozzy are considered to be sort of, for want of a better word, sister bands at the same era, same time. And so there was a great deal of respect between the members of those bands. And so we, of course, knew of each other and got to know each other as the music business goes. You get to know people, and mm-hmm. certainly people are in the same ilk. And then Vinny and I have worked together as well in other projects for a long time, probably over 12, 13, 14 years even maybe ago. Andy and I have worked together as well. So Viv, I've known Viv for a long time, but we never had an opportunity to work together. So this was a great thing. But to be honest, I mean, at the very beginning, I don't know, after the tragedy of Jimmy passing away, I don't know that these guys really knew exactly what they were going to do going forward, but there were some shows to do, and an album had just come out. And in tribute to that, or as in respect of that, did I want to do some shows? And really, that was pretty much all that was on the table at that time. And it wasn't until after we started doing the shows that that it became apparent that there was more to this than just doing those shows, and maybe there was something else to explore going forward. So that's
great fit. Thank you.
Now, in the show, and not to spoiler alert, but you do pay tribute, right?
To Jimmy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Tell fans about that just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's our little way of being able to do that. I mean, Jimmy was a great guy, and he was a good friend, and he was somebody who was very important and somewhat underestimated, I would say. I mean, when you look at what he's really done in the past, he was an all-round musician. He played all instruments. He sang. He wrote. He was super talented. And when somebody goes, there's not much you can do for them, apart from try to keep their memory going on. And doubly so, because this was a chemistry that included Jimmy. I mean, the original band included Jimmy, of course. And so it's something that, we're paying tribute to where this band came from. And I think it's important. So personally, for me, it's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
It's one little thing I can do for a friend. And for the band, I think it's a good thing, because it introduces the audience to the history of the band that continues to go on. And so I don't know. We'd like to dedicate a song, and it seemed to be appropriate for me to make that dedication. And I think it's a nice part of the evening. People seem to appreciate that.
And I get to tune up my guitar.
He gets to tune up his guitar.
Actually,
keep talking. Keep talking.
Yeah, we actually get to incorporate a little bit of dialogue from Vinny in that point as well.
Just a little bit.
Suggestions.
I think about everyone speaks except me.
Yeah.
I don't want a microphone. I'll get you one tomorrow. John's got some in the back here. I don't want to be the silent mysterious type.
Vivian, when we got a call from the your agency about this show, one of the things the guy told me was you got to see Vivian's rig, his gear. And again, when John Vernomatic and I were at the show, we were like, okay, it was like a wall of sound, your guitar. And so tell us, I guess for the gearheads out there, what about your rig that people should know?
It's so simple, even I can plug it in. It's,
it's a great example of doing away with racks.
Right. It's
the biggest cabinet badass sound you can get. And it just plugs into the amp.
Yeah, so I got my Les Paul. I got a wah pedal, couple cables, and an angled Blackmore head, and a 412 cab with vintage 30 speakers, and that's it.
Now, you recorded The Last in Line with the Dio Les Paul from back then.
Yeah, that's the guitar I play on the shows, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not the... Don't you have a new signature?
I do have a custom shop signature model that came out in 2018. That was a limited edition guitar, but Epiphone are doing a version of this, the Dio Les Paul. That's coming out in a couple of months, actually.
But the one you're playing is from back in the day.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah,
any particular reason why you pulled that out to maybe
get
that?
Because it felt appropriate. I mean, I've played the guitar on and off over the years, but I got a lot of Les Pauls now that, you know, over the years. I don't collect them, but it's my job, so I tend to acquire them. You know, a lot of them are great instruments, and I hadn't played their guitar for a long time. And then when we started doing the Last in Line band, it seemed perfectly appropriate to me that I started on that guitar. It's a guitar I learned how to play on. We wrote and recorded, and I toured Holy Diver Tour with that Les Paul. So,
yeah,
I should be playing it. I played Rainbow in the Dark on that guitar. So if we're playing on the Last in Line, I should play that guitar again. So, that's not in and of itself an expensive or a valuable guitar, but it's the most valuable guitar to me.
Yeah, of course.
Like, if the house was on fire, that would be the one I'd grab, you know.
I want to ask you this, considering you're in a unique situation where you're in the Last in Line doing the club tour, and in 2 weeks you may be going to that other band you play with and be in front of 40,000 people. How, going back to the clubs, there's obviously something you're pulling out of that you enjoy. Explain to me the difference between the two and what you like and dislike about the two.
Well, they're two very, very different bands. I mean, Leopard is big production, very, very polished show. we're not spontaneous in Leopard. I mean, everything is sure. exactly as it has to be because it is such a big production. So many people are involved in it, you know, with the lights and the video projections and whatnot. And the music is very, very vocal intense. So yeah. we're all singing a lot, like every single song. And it's a two guitar band. So, you know, and Phil does most of the heavy lifting in that band because we're still playing, you know, even though I've been with Def Leppard for 27 years now, but we're still playing the majority of the set is stuff that predates my involvement with Def Leppard, you know. It's mm-hmm. So it's just a very, very different thing. And in Last in Line, our only production is black T-shirts.
Yeah.
And so we don't have a light guy, let alone a video guy. And, you know, and we're not as vocal intensive. I mean, like, Andy, I think, wants me to sing in this band, but I just...
It would be helpful.
I'm resisting, you know.
It would be very helpful.
I just want to play. And I'm the only guitar player in Last Night, so I have to do... I'm the only melodic instrument, so I got to really bring my A-game, not just as a soloist, but as a rhythm guitar player in particular, you know. I mean, my hands are very busy.
Okay. That's a good way to say it.
You know, it's just a very different band. And plus, we're very spontaneous in Last Night. I mean, we can go off and just, and we've been known to do it frequently, just go off on some jazz odyssey that Vinny drags us on.
Yeah. That's kind of an important thing to point, too, about these guys, is that when it started as just, hey, let's play the old song, but it's impossible to get in a room with these guys and just play old songs, you know. It just doesn't happen. Even at sound checks, you know, they're noodling, there's ideas that are popping out, and people are turning recorders on their phone and stuff, so it's a very creative thing, whereas a lot of the bands from this era that get back together or are still doing and making records are not extremely creative, you know, like they'll stick to the script, you know, and I think that's why we're kind of getting the attention that we're getting and the records are doing well, because, you know, it throws back, it's got a new sound, you know, and it's a very creative thing. You don't, when I walk into a rehearsal, you know, I know it's going to be a Dio sounding, you know, because they're the sound of that band. But those two guys are the sound of that band. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way around it. You can say, oh, you know, this guy who was in at this time, you know, they were the original band, that's the original band. No, these guys are the band. They did the three records. And then Vinny did, what, 80,000 of them after that? Like, he did all, you know, most of the Dio records, Vinny's the drummer on. You know?
Yeah.
So you can't say it's not going to sound like that, because it's always going to, from the downbeat, it's going to have that groove, those mid-tempo grooves and stuff. But it's also becoming this new thing, so it's really unique. You know, it's hard to rest on laurels with these guys, because they just won't do it.
Are you ever surprised that you meet some younger people, the younger generation, that have so much discovered Dio, but is really getting into the Last in Line material? The younger generation, because rock is...
Case in point, this guy right here.
It happens from time... Yeah, I mean, we have it's not a huge, you know, audience, but they're there, you know, and I think we're starting to get played on active rock now, where it was just classic rock last year. It was classic, you know, for the first time, it was mostly classic rock and like Hair Nation and those type of, you know, those hair metal band outlets is where we would get the most attention from. But now, with this record, it's getting played on active rock radio stations, and that's a great thing for us, because you know, it is just as good as a Deftones record or a Seven Dust record, you know. It is, and it's got the same sort of tones, because these guys are throwing back to what these guys, you know, they're throwing back to what they did back in the day. And then you have bands like Rival Sons are coming out or doing, like, you know, they're just a hodgepodge of everything 70s, you know. They're Humble Pie, they're everybody, they're Zeppelin, you know, rolled in this thing, and they're getting more attention, and, you know, and that's throwing back to this, and it makes people look into what's going on with, you know.
Actually, you just mentioned a few, like, show segments. We have one that's called Back in the Day. We had a whole debate about that tag hair metal, which we think can be insulting to some bands from this genre.
It's just a bullshit
term. Yeah, I don't really like the
term. You know,
term,
by some snarky entertainment writer at your local newspaper. Who was, you know, beat up in school by one of us. You know what I mean?
True. But
I know.
Vinny, I had a question for Vinny in that vein, because, again, we were, like, joking. We were fact-checking and looking at your Wikipedia, and Whoa, man, this guy's in so many bands, and the whole collective band is connected to all the great ones, Sabbath, Dio, Rainbow. We already mentioned some of them. How do you look at this band, Vinny, compared to other projects you've been in, or is this your new, like, you know, love, or are you going to keep doing other projects? How do you look
well,
at this?
Well, this is a real band. It's when we started with Holy Diver, that was a real band. We'd go in, no song was written before we went into the rehearsal room. Nobody came in with a song. It was created with everybody, and that's why Holy Diver is such a classic record. It was a real team effort, you know, and Sabbath was like that somewhat in the beginning, the Mob Rules album, and then, you know, then it got a little bit crazy. And the other things, a lot of stuff I did with projects, you know, and it wasn't, I mean, I do a lot of stuff. I get files, you know, over the internet, play on something and send them back. You don't even need the Joel Hoster's album. I never even met him.
You know? Yeah.
But it worked because it was fun playing stuff like that. This is a real deal, you know.
So you guys get in a room and just record.
We get in a room, we write stuff, we express ideas to each other. Awesome. Nobody
talk
ever
about feelings.
Nobody ever says you can't.
Drink wine, watch Oprah, and all that stuff.
No, nobody ever says can't. Like, can't do that because they, you know, we just try it. And that's really cool. Everybody's open-minded. This is, and we record, we play the whole song together. You know, we don't send a track to Viv and he overdubs the guitars. We're in the room, we play together, and we play the whole song. We don't, like, none of that stuff was even punched in, you know? Maybe I messed up part of the song and I'll fix it, but we play everything together, so this is a real, real great band.
Yeah, I did some show research, and I came across you do like two or three songs, and then maybe pick it up a month or two later when you get back together. And how long did it take for Last in Line 2 to actually come together? About a year?
It took quite some time, but they were very sporadic writing sessions. But the writing sessions were typically 2-3 days when we would, our schedules would allow us to be together. But you see, when we got together with that short amount of time, we found that we were able to come up with great stuff. I mean, sometimes when you have 3 weeks to do something, you're not really focused until 2 days before the end of that period. And this forced us to come in completely focused because we knew we only had a limited amount of time.
Or you overthink it, and it's... But you captured it, and
we don't have to think it too much. I think we just kind of just played what came naturally, and we tried things. I mean, we would just go through and say, "Well, where does this go now? Where does this go now?" There, here, there, and it sort of evolved in a very sort of very granular, very organic fashion. Something which is probably quite rare these days. I mean, certainly from my experience, I don't see.
It was really productive. I mean, we could win for 2 days on the weekend, and we'd have two skeletons of a song,
maybe more
sometimes three. Then we'd send them to Andy. He can listen to them, and but so we had a lot to work with. It was very productive because we're having fun too. We love playing together.
By the way, we are watching the clock, and we're the only guys standing between you and dinner, so we get it. So trust me, we'll keep it moving along. We had a couple more, I guess, on the serious side, and then we want to transition just a couple, I guess, fun ones, and then we can cut it. But the serious one, though, is another thing that happened when this show came up was we realized that this actually falls on the exact date of Ronnie's passing, May 16, 2010. In many ways, wow, it's almost 10 years, right?
Nine years.
So 9 years. So what is that? Now, anybody can answer this, I suppose, or just one or two of you. But what does that mean to you all, just knowing that it's kind of falling in that, you know, on that exact date with one of the great ones?
It is a coincidence.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't even aware of that until a couple of days ago.
Man,
somebody pointed it out to me, but
I think we did at the Buffalo Buffalo show.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't aware of it either.
Sure. Yeah, we didn't know until we were like, wow.
A couple days ago, then
we had a meeting. I'm driving home. I'm like, wait a second, because I was listening to Ed Trunk about the Ride for Ronnie thing a week or two ago.
Yeah, the Last in Line Cancer Fund. Yeah.
And I pulled over to the side of the road. I'm like, no shit. It's the day of our show, so.
Yeah, is there significance, or it just kind of ties in everything you guys have been talking about, I guess?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously there's big history there with Vinny and I, with Ronnie, you know, so it's
It's nice to be playing music.
Yeah.
That's 30-something years old.
Still stands up.
It's on that day, and, you know, it just happens to be on that day, you know.
So we figured it would be appropriate to do, you know, try to do a little bit of fundraising around it. So we've got some CDs and stuff. Hopefully you guys will sign, and whatever we sell, we'll make a donation to his Stand Up and Shout Cancer Fund. But you know, the other thing we were talking about is you guys are almost like a little best kept secret. I know you're getting more exposure, getting more radio play, but we're like, wow, now this is like a true heavy metal all star band. All the bands you're connected to, the new music that you're putting out, you know, it's almost like, come on, Rochester, let's go. Yeah, you know, like come on out. Like this is. And I know tomorrow morning it would be great getting them on TV, but, you know, what do you want fans to know about, like, your band and coming to see you live? Like, what are they going to be surprised by?
One of the things I think is important is that we're very aware of what the roots are of this band, but that the band seems to be, the new material seems to be being accepted, like we were saying earlier on. I mean, there are a lot of bands, I suppose, in the last 20 years, 15 to 20 years, that I would call kind of heritage acts, where they're going out there and people want to hear the hits. They're familiar with the hits, they want to hear the hits. And they're playing new music, and it's not always received. Not because there's anything wrong with it, it's just that the planets don't align sometimes. You can do everything right and put new music out there, and it just doesn't resonate with people. And this is an opportunity where people do love that music, and that's something we're very respectful of that, and very fortunate that new music is being received that way. And it's great when we do our shows, because not everybody splits and goes to the bathroom when we play a Last in Line show. They stick around and they want to hear that, and they know the lyrics. They call out when we do our special VIP sound checks. They call out some of the songs that are Last in Line songs, and that's I think a testament to the fact that they are accepting that song.
Do you find that a different case over in Europe as opposed to America?
No,
it's just everywhere.
It's about the same.
Seems to be about the same.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of those things that starts to go. You put your shoulder behind it and say, right, okay, well, this is what we're going to do.
I think if the material was shit, I think, you know, they would tell us.
Yeah.
And we would see it, you know, because I'm the guy who's watching the crowd, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I see when, you know, people go to the bathroom or go for a cigarette or whatever, and it's usually during Vinny's drum solo.
That's why.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
And it's not because it's bad, it's because there's so much bottom end in it that it rattles your bowels. And, you know, everybody has to shit during it.
Sometimes
so.
I go to the bathroom.
Yeah, sometimes.
Solo.
He has a little throne, and his throne is actually a throne.
So I'll just get up and leave.
Yeah, I mean, if the material was bad, we would know it, you know. I mean, we've had songs in the set that didn't really work, you know, that we're like, maybe we should move it, or maybe we should try some, you know, maybe not that one, pick something else. But
see, there's not a lot of bands that people go see that go, man, you guys look like you're having fun on stage.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
We have fun on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
And each show is a little bit different. We jam a lot, you know, here and there. It's we're playing for the crowd, and we're playing for musicians too. They want to see unbelievable guitar player. Come see the show. You want to, you know,
better do another show if you want to see that. There's just a lot of intensity, and
that's the response
the
we get. Guys look like you're having fun on stage. Yeah. I said we are. And
well,
band just smokes. It's tight.
Viv has a smile on his face the whole.
Well, that's because the Def Leppard helicopter's coming.
Yeah.
We don't really see him except on stage.
He goes in the nice hotel.
No, it really is. It's great fun, you know, and it's a real privilege to play with these guys. They're amazingly talented. Vinny is the best, the most inspiring drummer I've ever played with. I mean, because Vinny's constantly
trying things.
Yeah. It's like you gotta pay attention when you play with Vinny. I mean, so I feel like I'm a better guitar player when I play with Vinny. You know, I've played with some amazing drummers, like Rick Allen. I mean, talk about inspiring. I mean, Rick is just a machine.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
amazing.
A monster. And I just have this connection with drummers and bands. I mean, I don't know if you ever see a Def Leppard show. I spend a lot of time hanging up with Rick, you know.
Yeah.
And we're bus mates. We share a bus together. So
You know, I didn't notice the night when I covered for you. The night when I covered for you guys.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Why don't you drop that one in?
I go up. No, but it's funny that you mentioned that because I remember when I saw you guys at the House of Blues. You did like a show at the House of Blues in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was early on in our band, and I'm watching. It's just this constant, steady drum beat, and I'm like, that guy's got one fucking arm. Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah, I know.
And then I got to fill in for them one night when Joe lost his voice, when I sang for Def Leppard. But I, you know, when I play with Vinny or when any drummer I play with, I go back to the drum riser during guitar solos and stuff and just kind of mess around with the drummer. Well, I went back there, and when Rick was playing, and his cymbals are like this, so he wasn't having it at all. You know, so I think he's very focused, and it's just to watch a guy up close like that play, you know, that guy should have been in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when it opened, you know, just him alone.
It truly is amazing.
Who the hell can do that? Yeah. You know, it's insane. Yeah.
We could have just went, you know what, I'm that's it.
Just the dedication and the perseverance that it takes to do that, like to just reinvent yourself like
learn
that.
Learn a new track.
Yeah.
I played on the metal show, you know.
Yeah.
Take it out, Vinny. And Rick was on. So at the end of at one portion, he came up and jammed with me. It's like, Rick's going to come up. So I'm like, cool. I just played a beat, and he had one stick, and he's playing the tom. And we're jamming together, and it was really cool.
Yeah.
You know?
So drummers drive the ship, you know, and they're all different, and I've been very fortunate in my career. I've played with a lot of them, a lot of great musicians, and like I said, and Leppard, Rick, just, he holds it all together. I mean,
but to answer your question,
wouldn't be the same band without him, and in this band, last night with Vinny, I mean, it's just constantly, it's like moving, it's like, and the energy that comes out. I mean, Vinny, you know, you said the other night that my guitar was really loud. Well, it's his fault. Because Vinny sets the bar. I mean, he's the loudest drummer. So
no doubt.
You can't have to play
I think you scared me, man, a little bit. It's like you're pounding it back.
He wants to kill the drummer. You know, but, and what Phil brings to the band, you know, Phil's a very different bass player from what Jimmy was.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy was a very fundamental bass player with incredible tone and timing and just like right in the pocket.
Yeah.
Kind of just laid it down, and Phil's a more musical and adventurous player, which I think is reflected on our two album, you know, the songs of, you know, Phil's pushing us a bit more to be a bit more adventurous musically, and you know, it's just a great band. We genuinely are having fun doing this, you know.
Well, it shows, guys.
And the money, the huge sacks of cash that we get every night, and the cheese sandwiches. That makes it all worth it.
Well, let's try to push the band musically and also gastronomically as well. So.
Yes. By the way, we're getting messages from behind the curtain. John, I don't know why you just don't say it, dude. You're right there. But we want to remind you before we forget and get to the end of the show, the VIP package, your meet-greet package. Can you tell fans about that? Because that is a band promotion that we're going to help promote tonight and tomorrow as well, but tell people what they can do and where they can get it.
It's a very interactive experience, you know.
Metal J.
It's not like we just shake a hand and take a picture and sign something. I mean, like, we jokingly say that it's a life-altering experience. Yeah.
So no, that's people, at what? Yeah, 4 o'clock, they can come to soundcheck, correct?
Soundcheck at 5. They come at 5.
Yeah, and people Lana. Have come, the testimonials that they've, some guys that were losing hair and stuff,
hair
they noticed
hair
a couple weeks later, their hair ruined.
Their teeth were whiter.
Their teeth got whiter, and their sex life totally improved. Yeah.
No more ED.
Okay. That's where forget the pills, right?
We actually have video of that.
And that was just the boners.
This is getting serious.
Yeah, I know.
Proving boners worldwide. So,
yeah. You actually get a sponsor, though. Yeah, it's a natural sponsor, maybe, with one of these. Yeah. Roman. so they can go last
line. They come to the sound checks after we got it going, and then they'll listen to one or two songs. You know, sometimes you go, what do you want to hear? You know, they pick a song, we play. Then we go meet them, do the pictures, do autographs, talk. It's not a, it's more of a.
Spend some time with them.
Yeah, it's pretty much.
We get to know each other.
Relax.
It's nice, nice for us to get to know some.
We were down in Buffalo and we got there late and we just missed it because we got in. Thanks for inviting us. But people coming out of there were just like smiling, happy as can be, sharing their lamb and telling the great story, showing all their pictures. So yeah, it seems like it's a can't
miss.
We
get a lot of food too on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Especially me. They bring me. Cannolis.
Oh, nice.
Like meatballs and donuts, devil dogs.
We're gonna do that now.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're still available. Last in line, if it, your official website, they can still purchase those.
Yep.
Up until what time? Like, pretty much
showtime.
All up until showtime?
You can even show up at the show at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock,
pay and get in to the...
Perfect.
Yeah, all right. It's really all right. Cool.
And we still do have tickets available. They will be tomorrow at the door, but also we have a promo code still, MetalForever5, $5 off per ticket, so buy them in advance. And certainly, you know, ticket sales are picking up, and it's going to be a great show. A lot of people will be there. We'll pack the place.
Awesome.
We're trying to show up Buffalo 90 minutes down the road. So, good. I'm glad we got a chance to mention that.
One other thing, 8 a.m. tomorrow morning on 13 Wham, 13 Fox.
Fox Rochester.
The whole band will be on.
Sleepy-eyed.
Sleepy-eyed.
We're going to get them up.
Coffee
there, right,
hopefully
Mike?
Still dry.
Producers here.
Starbucks.
And, so that's an action-packed day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, quick transition into some fun stuff, and then we'll call it a wrap here. Right. You want to start, or what? Let's start with, so we have a segment called, it's called the Mount Rushmore of, and what that is, you know, Mount Rushmore has the four presidents, and we pick different topics, whether it's albums, bands, concerts we've seen, whatever. So I guess we'll do a quick roundup of this. Vinny, we'll start with you. The Mount Rushmore of Dio songs, if you had to pick four.
Stand Up and Shout, Holy Diver, Last in Line.
Did you? Same one? Same question?
We had to pick a set list for our
Rambo and the Dark.
Yeah, we got to pick a set list for Download.
45 minutes. Or half an hour, right?
No, 30. We got a 30-minute set.
Wow.
We were opening the main stage in Download on June
14th.
How many songs do you get? What's this?
Well, that's what we're thinking. We could probably only
get
five, and we got to keep it tight, like nothing in between. So,
yeah.
Five
Sorry,
songs in about 30 minutes.
So then, I guess, Phil, can you comment on the four Ozzy songs, and you can't say Shot in the Dark.
Four Ozzy songs?
Is that the one you wrote?
Yeah. Four Ozzy
songs.
Say that. I mean, you know, the songs have got to be like I Don't Know and Crazy Train and probably Suicide Solution, Flying High Again. I mean, those are legendary songs, you know.
The road stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's where it all began. And then everything else sort of happened afterwards. But when you look at those classic songs,
didn't Ozzy like to eat that from that chicken place? What's it called?
El Pollo Loco.
What do you call that place?
In Rochester.
Oh,
El Pollo.
What's the name of it?
El Pollo Loco.
Oh, it's here in Rochester.
They don't have that here.
They
don't have.
Oh, they might.
Oh, you don't have it here.
Maybe we do.
That's a West Coast thing. They have Nick Tahoe's here.
Yeah, we do have Nick Tahoe's.
You're going to go, right, after the show? We'll go. We'll ride you out there.
I got to figure something out. Cause
it's not very healthy for you.
I spent many a drunken night.
Just to clear that up, it's called El Pollo.
El Pollo. El Pollo Loco.
Yeah. And it's a, like, Mexican chicken kind of place.
Isn't that from that show Breaking Bad?
But Ozzy used to say...
Just have a problem pronouncing it. It would come out as El Pollo Loco.
That's so funny.
But he had a problem pronouncing Randy Castillo's name. Randy Castillo.
So. I'm remembering yours sometimes.
No, he's good with mine. Randy's getting...
Yours, Viv? Your top four? Top four Dio songs?
Rambo in the Dark. Invisible.
Huh?
Nice.
Favorite of mine.
How about Egypt?
We rock. Sure, Egypt, why not?
Evil Eyes.
Yes, funny enough. Evil Eyes is a good one. Yeah.
That's.
And then, Andrew, how about Last in Line songs?
Four best Last in Line songs?
Just your favorite, yeah. Or ones you
Give
like.
Give Up the Ghost?
Yeah.
Do I have real trouble breathing when I sing it? Because I overcompensated in the studio. I Give Up the Ghost. I like. But I hated it at first. I liked The Light a lot.
Last song on the album.
Yeah. That's one. Was that the one you and I worked on together? Lyrically?
No, that was... We worked more on Man Machine, God Machine.
Oh, Man Machine. Yeah, but that's got a different name, too. I'm still working with working titles, so...
Me too.
What else? The first record... what is that tune? Heavy Crown. I really like that song. what else on that one? Yeah, I guess Devil and Me, because I think it's the first one we wrote, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was the first one, wasn't it?
Devil was the first one.
Yeah, and I'm really getting, God's and Tyrants is really growing on me. Oh, my.
There you go.
Oh, thanks. So I know the title. I was much thinner then.
Well, we we had some other hokey ones.
Well, we're gonna let you guys eat.
We're gonna let you guys. We'll wrap it up because I know you guys want to get to dinner and we appreciate.
Do one more hokey one.
All right, you want to? Okay.
Yeah, one more.
Well,
hokey one.
Okay. We have a segment called Metal Confessions.
All right.
We'll leave it at that. We haven't even got that deep into it. We said some stupid stuff in our day. I'll just leave it up. And who wants to give a metal confession?
I have a metal confession.
Uh-oh,
because it's to do with Rochester.
Oh, I was going to ask you any Rochester questions.
And I was just telling the guys when we were driving over here, because it just occurred to me.
PG-13
I metal. Put it out of my mind. It was such a traumatic thing. I spent my 25th birthday here. I played, Whitesnake was opening for Motley Crue on the girls.
Yeah, I was there.
Tour. It was the
War Memorial.
Memorial, yeah. And at the hotel that night, I was sitting like this, and I had Nikki Sixx on one side of me and Tommy Lee on the other, and insisting on buying me shots. Tommy would buy me a shot of Ouzo. Nikki would buy me a shot of Jack Daniels. And this is shit I don't drink. I mean, I drink beer and wine. That's it, you know. I had the next morning, I was just an unspeakable hangover, like the worst hangover ever. It's one of those hangovers where you can't quench your thirst, no matter what you do. Gallons of water and juice, and you're just like,
So did you see the dirt then? The Motley Crue?
I haven't seen it.
Have you guys seen? So that shit's true, right? Most of it.
Well, I would say. I mean, I haven't seen the movie, but those guys were, they were living at large, you know. I mean, I remember in Dallas they were renting Ferraris and Bentleys and stuff, and going out and doing donuts in the parking lot of the Four Seasons Hotel.
Well, going on, seeing that you shared Rochester. Vinny, you got a Rochester story back in the day?
No.
There's the Sony
Arcade.
I remember
Lemmy,
we played the
anything?
War Memorial a million times.
Oh, yeah.
Coming here, that was cool.
I was in eighth grade, saw Mob Rules.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, well, we got another. We'll just do one more. It's called Fire and Ice. That's like an either or situation. And sometimes we'll do like a priest or maiden or whatever. But all right, Vinny, this one's for you. Women or whiskey? You got to choose one.
Women.
Either or.
That's easy.
I know. Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on.
There's some women back there.
Because it burns when you...
Vivian, you just said you're a beer and wine drinker, but beer or wine?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I got two hands.
At dinner, that's probably what it'll be.
They call that Irish handcuffs.
Yeah.
You got one in each hand. If I had to choose one of the I suppose wine.
Okay, and Phil, touring or recording?
Oh, gosh, I mean, it's
recording our album or other albums? Because you got a lot of
touring
calls from me.
With who?
It's that's a tough one because when you're doing one, you want to do the other.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know, it's hard.
I feel like I hear other musicians will say when they're on the road, sometimes halfway through they want to come home or they're tired of the road, but when they're home for like a couple months.
No, I'm talking creatively, actually.
Oh, okay.
Creatively, yeah, because when you are, it's a different energy, but it's a complementary energy. If you do too much of one without the other, the whole thing kind of starts to lose focus, I think. So, you know, when you want to write and then you want to actually play what you've written, you know, they go together.
You can't, you say stuff like, I can't wait to play this shit live.
That's right. And then when you're out there playing, you say, I'm getting really inspired, can't wait for us to get back in the room and start putting some of these new ideas down. You know, it's all part of that world, you know. That's a tough one.
Just last comments, last in line, last comments, open mic, anything we missed or you want to mention or show promotion for tomorrow or?
Well, we're glad to be here and we thank you guys for putting on the show.
Yeah,
that's
indeed. Yeah.
Short notice
and
close to somewhere else we played and we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And
we won't suck.
Yeah. You promise?
Well, we promise not to sell. We can't promise that it'll be a sold out show.
No, we really look forward to it.
We're working on that still. Show. But no, I mean, look, we were blown away. Like, genuinely. Like,
generally.
We came up here and we wanted to do a show. We hadn't done a show in a couple of weeks. And Vernomatic and I, like, we got to do a show. And everybody's like, this is shameless show promotion because we want to talk, come out, buy tickets. But we were just blown away. I mean, just the live performance, the vocals, the guitar, everything, man. The full deal.
Yeah.
Drums, guitar, like, the songs, and we were listening to Last Line the whole way up, and then he caught me. He's like, "Are you listening to Last Line still?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still freaking jamming it, man." So
well,
it's legit. It's genuine. That's why we're doing it. Like, this is not like promotion and telling me because we're kissing your ass because you're sitting here in the couches, but it's legit. It's just, you guys are a super group, man. You're an arena band in a club.
That was the quote. Right? That was the quote. You know, we do this promoting and all this as a hobby. You know, I own a business and I have kids. Mark is professional job and has kids, you know.
Viv's doing his band as a hobby, too.
Oh, okay. a labor of love. A labor of love.
So we can take you from the Four Seasons down to the other hotel.
Yeah,
wow.
Well,
cash grab.
So,
I think the biggest thing we should probably say, last words, would be check out the new music, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The new music is, as we put a lot of, you know, work into it. And again, it is a labor of love, you know. There's not a lot of money there, and it's definitely about passion and just, you know, taking a band like this and into the future, you know.
Yeah. Well, we got your back. We got your back.
And we know the alternative to this was going to a tropical island for a show. So, you know, hey, you got Rochester. The sun came out today.
Right.
Yeah,
good.
It will.
And you know what? Walking in here, it didn't look like much. Like, what are we doing?
Oh, right. Oh, I know.
But you guys got a good show.
Yeah, oh, thanks, fun, man.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, John, did you hear that?
Hey, John, you hear that?
I give some shout-out to our guy in the back here.
Oh, I mean, you guys are good at different questions. You know, we do a lot of interviews. It's the same questions a lot of times. You guys.
Yeah, so kudos to you guys.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
It's an interesting interview together.
Yeah. Well, we research, but we're fans, too, right? I mean, we love the music, right? So I think it's kind of... Well, we met with Bobby Blitz the other day, and he kind of told us, he's like, yeah, you could tell you know your shit.
Overkill was in town, so we had an interview. Yeah. 30-second wrap-up. Mark and I went to high school together. and we were metalheads, yeah, but we haven't seen each other
in 28 years.
Yeah. He moved back into town. He's worked professionally in sports management. I've lived here my whole life. And we went to a Judas Priest show in Canada.
And we brought a stack of CDs because I don't know this freaking guy, 28 years, let's play music and we're not going to talk. And then
we didn't talk
up
the whole time, connected.
All metal, bands, things.
Really, everything we've done the last 30 years. And then we were like, fuck it, let's, you know.
That's cool.
Very good.
Well, they told us you guys were tough, man, but, you know, opposite. You guys are awesome. Man. And we're so excited for tomorrow. And if you sit at home and love this music,
yeah, let's get out there. So
forget all the YouTube crap and just go freaking out. Yeah, man.
Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
John, appreciate you want to take us out?
We
lost our producer. I guess you guys weren't that great. But thanks, man. We appreciate it. Last in Line tomorrow night, Montage Music Hall. Doors are open at 7. Adrenaline's here. They go on at 8. We got Nasty Trask going on at 8:40. Local band. And somewhere after 9:30 or so, we'll get Last in Line up, and we're looking forward to a great set. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Okay,
thanks, everyone. Great. Johnny,
thank you.
Drop it down, Mr. Moses.